Welcome to the first of four episodes on discovering spiritual disciplines. If you listen to the introduction, you'll know the first two episodes of this series will be on the spiritual discipline of prayer, with episodes 3 and 4 on silence and solitude. Let's begin with a prayer that some of you may have heard before. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire, and I know if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Father Thomas Merton, Thoughts in Solitude, 1958. Prayer is the essential expression of our relationship with God. As with the spiritual life itself, prayer is initiated by God. No matter what we think about the origin of our prayers, they are all a response to the hidden workings of the Spirit within. Prayer involves freely entering a relationship of communication and communion with God for the sake of knowledge, wisdom, growth, and the deepest of all, companionship. We're going to explore both the communication and communion aspects of prayer. In this episode, let's begin with prayer as communication. Most of us think of prayer as a conversation with God. Much of our prayer life is weighted towards supplication, which includes petitions for our own needs and intercession for others. Prayer as conversation with God can be deeply fulfilling. However, if that's the only form our prayer takes, we may begin to sense that something is missing. There are two reasons for this. First, prayer is, by nature, more than just conversation. To limit its concept to dialogue is to allow some of the most profound expressions of prayer to escape our notice. Second, our conversation may be in practice less of a dialogue than a monologue that borders on talking at God. But God is not, as one author notes, our cosmic concierge or bellhop. True communication is a two-way street. Genuine dialogue asks us to listen as well as to speak, to receive in order to respond. It is the listening side of the communications loop that has been given inadequate attention by most church teachings on prayer. One of the key things we must consider then is listening to God. But how do we listen to God? Clear communication can be very difficult between people, even with the advantage of inflection or expression and gesture. How much more confusing it is to communicate with one who is invisible, intangible, inaudible, and inscrutable. A good place to begin for many is with Scripture. God's communication is not limited to the pages of the Bible, yet if we are open to the Spirit, we can expect to hear God speak to us through writings that are intentionally called God's Word. Through many centuries and cultures, the Church has found that this Word continues to speak with contemporary wisdom and transforming power. I personally find great intimacy with God in the Book of Psalms. Others find that God speaks to them through the Gospels. Spend time in a variety of Scripture to see where you best hear the voice of God speaking to you. Another way to listen to God And for many, the most natural way to listen is through creation. In Psalm 19, we hear, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there any words, yet their voice goes through all the earth." Creation has a unique language of proclamation and praise. Each part of the created order speaks eloquently of its creator, just as consummate artistry reveals the soul of the artist. If our spirits are attuned, we can hear God's voice through one another. Perhaps someone who knows us well speaks just the right word we need to hear in a way that we can grasp. Perhaps a complete stranger appears in a crucial moment with a word of encouragement, guidance, or warning. A good habit is to ask often, "What is God saying to me in this situation?" Many seekers have discovered that journaling can be a way of listening to oneself and to God. Reviewing our journals, we may start to recognize patterns where we've grown, where we've gotten stuck, and how we discern God's gracious presence and guidance through it all. At times, God speaks to us in more subtle and mysterious ways. These moments come often unbidden amid ordinary activity or in the quiet of contemplation. We've all experienced, "The words just came into my head," or, "I knew I needed to do this," or, "No, this doesn't feel quite right." The Quakers have a good listening practice for when something inside us says, "This doesn't seem quite right." They call it stop in the mind. It's a warning that we're moving in the wrong direction, often alerting us to a selfish attitude or behavior. It can happen, say, when we believe we are praying a perfectly altruistic prayer, and all of a sudden we begin to feel a little uneasy about our motives or intentions. A still and silent voice stirs a spirit in us to stop and consider what God's purpose really is. This by no means covers all the many ways there are to listen to God. But I hope you can begin to see, though, that we can indeed become good spiritual listeners. The second primary expression of prayer is communication, is speaking. Speaking from the heart with unreserved honesty. Many of us have learned tacit or explicit taboos about what we're permitted to bring into prayer. We may have learned, for instance, that doubt, anger, or despair are inappropriate to be expressed to God. In prayer, we need to speak whatever truth is in us. Pain and grief, fear and disappointment, yearning and desire, questions of doubt, hope and faith, failure and weakness, and yes, even hate, along with thanks and praise. If any of these feelings or expressions seem foreign to our prayer life, we need only turn to the Psalms for help. Within their verses, the whole range of human passions are expressed with magnificent candor. As I mentioned earlier, one of the ways we often speak to God is through prayers of intercession. Every prayer of intercession is a concrete expression of the social dimensions of prayer. It includes our concerns for other people, communities, nations, the earth, our fellow creatures, along with ourselves. Intercessory prayer can be painful and perplexing. Our prayers are not answered in a way we desire or expect. We pray for healing and it does not come. We pray for peace and conflict increases. We wonder whether God does not will the good we intend, or perhaps we are not praying rightly, or he or she is just plain not listening. In frustration, our hearts cry out, "How can I ask in simple trust for a prayer to be answered, a gift to be granted, and at the same time yield up my will to God?" I confess I have no easy answers. What I can say is that my confidence in the power of prayer is rooted in the promises that God is continuously working for good in the midst of ambiguous situations, and that his or her purposes will prevail in the end. I can also say that I am convinced that love is the only power capable of enduring all things. It remains immovable after everything else has fallen away. Therefore, I can ask for eyes to see where God is already at work, and a spirit ready to cooperate with God's grace in any circumstance. The more fully I can entrust myself to God, the more freely God's loving purpose can be worked out in my life. As I mentioned in our series introduction, each one of our sessions will include a meditation. For our meditation today, let's try an approach to prayer that might be new to many of you as a vehicle for willing God's will. It uses imagination rather than words as an avenue for prayer. Please close your eyes and relax. Breathe in and out gently. Become aware of God's presence. Imagine this as radiant light and warmth. Allow this to fill your consciousness, your mind, and your heart. When we are in God's presence, we are never alone. We are there with all God's children, held in the divine embrace. Choose one of those children, a family member, a friend, or a colleague, with need of healing in mind, body, or heart. Lift this person into God's light. Visualize divine love surrounding and enveloping this person, gently penetrating defenses, dissolving pain, cleansing wounds. If this seems difficult, use any images that seem appropriate. Dark becoming light, ice melting, confusion becoming ordered. See the person in a state of wholeness, newly created, fresh, happy, and beautiful, painless and restored, bathe in God's divine love. Ask that this wholeness be fully realized in this child of God. Thank God for whatever gift of healing shall be given, and release the person into divine care until you pray again. Take a few deep breaths and gently open your eyes to bring you back to this moment. This is the end of our first gathering on the spiritual discipline of prayer. In our next episode, I'll talk about prayer as communion. Until then, may the peace that surpasses understanding be with you.